Good evening, everybody. Thanks for joining us. This is Sexendipity. I'm Dr. Limor Blockman, and I have wonderful guys in the studio. I'm surrounded by males. I'm very happy.
Sounds creepy, didn't it? Surrounded by males. Creeper.
Sounds like the bonobo roar.
Well, go ahead.
Well, my name is Dave Corrado, and I do stand-up comedy. And sitting to my right is
Josh Nasser, and I do stand-up comedy. And I do a lot of other things. I do a lot of other fun things.
What do you do?
I do stand-up comedy. I host a TV show for Discovery, and I'm on a show called Sons of Anarchy.
Wow.
That's what I do.
That's a lot.
And I do relationship and dating advice. I did that for 15 years.
Really?
Yeah, over 10,000 hours of counseling, one-on-one group, and big groups.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it's helped me really develop myself. I was really kind of like handicapped in the area of dating. I was always dating emotionally unavailable women. But I was emotionally unavailable. Okay, I don't need you laughing at me. You know what, you see? Bro, man, he didn't laugh. You know what? I'm being quiet.
You're making me feel uncomfortable.
Well, you're making me feel uncomfortable, all right?
So on that note, I want to ask you guys, because you're guys, so, you know, it doesn't matter how open-minded I am as a female, but I want to just address the whole idea of threesomes, because it's such a, you know, it's always on everybody's mind, and everybody's like, maybe talking about it, maybe not so talking about it. But what do you think? I mean, do you guys like the idea of a threesome?
Well, I'm sorry. Do you want to go?
Go ahead.
All right. Here's my opinion. Yeah. I don't want another guy in the room while I'm...
I don't want anybody with a penis coming near my ass.
No.
Is that what you meant?
That's what I meant. But it was... I told a joke to somebody about how, like, I don't even like to folk... I don't even... To have two women, I guess that would be on my bucket list, but it hasn't happened. But I know I would end up focusing on one woman more than the other.
And that should be a problem.
Yeah.
And then unless they play amongst themselves.
Well, yeah, that would be okay.
That would be lovely.
But I know the one that I liked, see, this was my joke, was the one that I liked more would be sucking me off, while the one I liked less would be eating my asshole.
So that could be a dream come true. But yeah, what do you think, Josh?
To be honest, I just vomited in my own mouth. It's just my deal. I don't know what's happening. I just know that. That's me. You know what? I love it. I would love to be with 70 women at once. But honestly, I don't think it's a good thing. For a relationship, no. Yeah. I don't want to share with anybody, and I don't want to be shared with anybody. I really think it only leads to problems. I don't personally know anybody that I've talked to that has done it, and their relationship, and from my opinion, is healthy.
Yeah.
I just don't think so. I think it causes a lot of issues, a lot of distress, a lot of mistrust. And, you know, as I said, if I was dating with somebody, I wouldn't do it. There'd be no way.
So, but if you were in a non-relationship, say in a setting that you are with someone,
yeah,
that it's sexual.
Yeah, I'd be getting all kinds of hoes, motherfucker.
Yeah,
girl, what's up, boo?
Yeah. But the thing is it really what you would do? Or just is it something that it's very male kind of oriented to say? Do men really, are men really interested in threesomes? Or is it just like a, you know, a more social kind of contribution?
Yeah.
They are.
We're into sevensomes.
Okay.
I mean, think about it. Going back thousands of years, there's always been,
harems.
You know, harems.
Harems.
So we didn't make any of this up.
Yeah.
You know, prostitution. There's more female prostitutes. That's what we want. We're built for sex. We're built to breed.
Right. So you think women are not?
I don't know what women are. I just know that every girl I look at, I want to hook up with.
Okay. And you would prefer the more the merrier?
Yeah. Why not?
Now, I want to ask, because why not is a good question. And I want to relate to something that Dave said, because you said I'm going to satisfy one more than the other. Then what do you do? It's like, don't you feel kind of inadequate when the other one is like bored? Is that like a possibility? I'm just curious.
Well, you know, it's not a situation that I've had. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I have not.
But in your fantasy.
Yeah, well, it's not even something I really fantasize about that much. I think I personally am focused on just whoever, you know, I'm with at that time.
You want to
gratify. Yeah. But I mean, if the opportunity came that I'd be with the multiple partners.
Two women would attack me and drag me to bed.
Yeah. See, I have a very small penis, so I won't satisfy anybody. That's, so it doesn't matter. I'm hung like a pimple, sir.
Oh, my God.
I don't no, I don't, you know what? I disagree with you on that. I think really? I could satisfy both. I mean, not like, hey, I'm a, but no, you just figure it out. I mean,
so
just,
what do you do? What do you do? Because I'm curious, you know, as a woman, you're in bed with two women. What do you do to satisfy both of them? Well, I mean, they're demanding. Women are insatiable.
Well, you can like no, crazy finger women. You're the insane. One girl and you're eating out the other girl. Or...
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, one I don't know.
I mean, you've got two hands.
I know. Well, in general, according to a study, most women were less interested in... male, female, male, what you may call.
Wait, what study is that first? What's the study? I want to know who did
the
study.
The study was conducted on grad students.
Okay.
In Canada, and they asked about 800 students, will they engage in a threesome?
Okay.
When with the males, they asked, will you join a man, someone of the opposite sex?
I'm okay. Not, wait, so you're saying they asked men if they want to be with men and a girl?
With two women.
Yeah,
no,
okay.
Someone from the opposite sex. Yes.
Okay, so two
so
women.
They asked a man if you want to be with two women.
Okay.
And a woman if you want to be with two men.
Okay.
That's what they asked. So the men, what do you think? I mean, the results are very common to understand and then kind of, you know, predictable. Most men said yes. Oh, hell yeah, I want to be with more women. And most women said no. But it was actually very interesting. You know, on the scale, they put a scale like Kinsey's scale. It was like 0 to 6. Mm-hmm. Most women were very close to the 0, which is hardly. They hardly wanted to practice male, female, male kind of thing.
I really think that comes from, and tell me what you think. They say 1 in 4 women is sexually abused or assaulted in some way, okay? And
yeah,
their lifetime.
You can say.
Let's just say it's 1 in 6 or 1 in 8. But from what I've heard, it's 1 in 4 in the studies.
Okay.
And the women I've talked to about this, they said it's not as much about the physical, that they don't want to be with two men.
Because they're afraid.
They're afraid, one, but also feeling disrespected. Because women are a lot objectified. I mean, you know, when you walk down the street, every woman, I've talked to them.
I objectify myself.
So you get, but not even that. I'm looking at your boobs. Not even that.
Yeah.
No, but you get objectified already.
Right.
So it's,
yeah, of course.
It's, so for them, it's they don't want to feel, you know, like a piece of a whore,
of
a piece of meat.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of women, whereas I said, I would fantasize about it. I really wouldn't go through with it because of that.
Because of the fear of being, you know.
Of feeling those feelings.
Okay.
Even if they said the men were safe, they just don't, I don't want to feel those feelings of, I already feel it enough. I either been sexually abused or assaulted, or I feel objectified all the time. So throw that in, you know, two guys.
So if you look at porn that presents, you know, threesomes or a DP or whatever it is, most women will say, yeah, it's for, it's for guys.
DP, double penetration.
I'm sure you know that.
Deep penetration.
That's also a surf song from the 60s.
Once again. But again, the thing is, so most women said that they wouldn't when it comes to male, female, male. And most men said they would. And by the way, most men said they would, regardless of the situation of the relationship situation that they were in. Meaning that it doesn't matter if it's a serious relationship or just hanging out or one night stand or whatever it is, they will most likely do it. Now, women said no. But again, I think that it's a little biased. And in my opinion, because they didn't really refer to the other option, which is two women and one man. Which most women will agree to.
Hmm.
Okay, what do you think?
Well, that sounds all right to me.
I mean,
I would try it, you know. I mean, if I had the opportunity, but...
So you think if a woman is presented with the idea of having sex with another woman and another man, will that be more...
Do you have a study on
that? I don't have a study right now on it.
I'd be interested to look it up. We should look it up for next time and see.
But I will say...
That'd be a good comparison.
Right, but I will say that most women are bisexual by nature.
Mm-hmm.
And so for that reason, most women will agree.
Wait, educate me on that.
Okay.
Why do you say that most women are bisexual?
Well, biologically, women are geared towards bisexuality because female sexuality, unlike male sexuality, is fluid. What you may call lacking orientation. Which means that most women have the tendency to be attracted, not necessarily act on it. Most women don't.
I just think it's because vaginas are awesome. I think that's
pretty much what it
comes down to.
It is very true. I think vaginas are...
Wait, what's your name
over
there?
Jenny.
Please. I just said vaginas are awesome. I look over and Jenny's nodding her head.
Of course, she owns one.
Yes, they are. She even did a cheerleading sign. She has spirit fingers. I don't know why she did that.
I know. But the show me, yeah. But the thing is, I agree. Vaginas are awesome. But regardless, I think that because, I don't think, innately women are bisexual. And so for that reason, most women, even if they don't act on it, they'll examine the idea of being with another woman that they find attractive because, A, it's less intimidating. There are no two dicks around. And, you know, it's, like, less fearful. And then also, it's kind of like, you know, kind of a comforting surrounding, I think. And they can live, you know, their dream of engaging in a sexual activity with a woman.
I think that guys who claim to be bisexual are usually more oriented towards guys.
So you mean, oh, okay, regardless of the threesome, if a guy says he's bisexual,
it's true.
I agree.
I think it's a cover-up, you know.
They're mostly gay?
Yeah, I believe so. Mm-hmm. Women, I think it's more about the relationship. I don't know. It's just in my experience, like I've met a lot of women who are, you know, bisexual who... It's kind of like...
Where?
Where did they hang out?
I just woke up. I was sleeping.
Introduce me to them.
I don't know what happened. I'm sorry. I was sleeping.
I know. Send me pictures.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
For some reason, bisexual women are more attracted to me than strictly heterosexual women because I have a...
Because you're delicate.
Yeah. Aww. I know. I got the delicate punim, you know. That,
I know.
Wait a second. I know I'm Yiddish. Oh, I'm Middle Eastern. I'm Syrian Jewish. So I don't believe in this. Wait. Little punim. Let me touch your kepi. Sorry.
Kepi. You got here on that one.
So I want to ask you. So you're saying that you have you attract a lot of bisexual women?
I have.
Yeah, because
in the
they're
past.
More comfortable, probably.
I mean, I've had luck with women who are like kind of go both ways for some reason.
There has to be a doc. There's got to be something psychological there that he's attracting that.
Yeah, no, there is.
Because he looks like a dude. He doesn't look like he's not.
Well,
slamming.
He is
he's like
a dude. Yeah, but yeah, he's not an intimidating dude.
But do you
I'm
think,
a small man. He's a small man.
No, really, and
you
he's,
don't look like it. I mean, well, I don't know. He's got hair. You got a goatee, kind of cool face. You know.
No, he's gentle. Oh, he is gentle.
But do you think that has something to do with it? That
yes,
he's attracting
I do
that?
Think that women would. You know, potentially feel more comfortable and less intimidated than with a Hell's Angel guy.
I think there's, emotional thing going on deeper than that.
Okay.
If he's attracting them, because we do attract a certain type of person. Like for me, I always attracted emotionally unavailable women. Well, because I was emotionally unavailable.
Right.
That was the reason.
So as soon as you found out that it's different for you snapped out of it, so to speak, then
what do you mean?
You attracted different kind of women. You started attracting this different kind of women.
Well, yeah, now. But okay. No, for years and years and years, up until 3 years ago, now. And when I snapped out of it now, for me, as emotionally unavailable women, if I see they are, so boom, I go out with you and you do something that I sense to be, for me, for my taste, emotionally available. I just don't date you anymore. I just don't call you. It's not a big deal. It's nothing negative. I just...
No, but it makes sense.
I just don't. So
and I agree with what David is saying, too. That women will be less intimidated by his appearance because he's a gentle, kind of serene. You know, yeah, it is... It's true. I can see that. I mean, I can see that.
I'm going to disagree.
Women.
He's a dude. But I said there's something deeper. There's got to be. I don't know what it is.
I don't know.
You know, yeah. But so in general, these were the results of that study, that women were less interested. But again, as I said, they weren't questioned about having sex with another woman. So it's kind of biased and not full. And I don't really take these results into full consideration. What they said is that people that had already done it were like 2% of women, and with men it was like over 10%. Mm. And with the 10% of men that practiced it, managed to do it more than 10 to 20 times.
So why do girls get mad when we cheat? That's how we're built.
Well, you know, both Homo sapiens are not built towards monogamy in general. Okay?
Not even women?
Not even women.
I don't appreciate you calling me a homo sapiens. I know that means a person. I know. I was just making a fight.
I know. But seriously, we're not geared towards monogamy in general. You know? So we're not a monogamous species.
But aren't women, like, I mean, more into, like, nesting, like, trying to, you know, make a home?
Well,
kind of thing?
There is a factor that you need to take into consideration that a woman is incubating, meaning that a woman has a lot more sacrifice when she gets pregnant. So that's a different theory. But in general, you know, women and men in general, we are not a monogamous species because, you know, if you look at bonobos and if you look at chimps, they're not monogamous either. So, and we come from that. These are our ancestors.
Wait, do you mean I could have sex with chimps and nobody would get mad?
No, but it would
Is that what that means? Because I've never tried that.
You need to raid a cage right now.
I think so. And it's got to be two females, just so you know, because I'm not having sex with a male chick.
I know.
Keto's going to be all over that.
Giddy up.
Now, bonobos are known to be one of the most sexually active primates.
Right.
I mean, they're very promiscuous.
They are very promiscuous.
They're into weird stuff.
Yeah, but they do like the missionary position.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they're known to practice the missionary position.
What's a bonobo?
It's a smaller version of a chimp.
Of a chimp, yeah.
That's what I look like.
Yeah.
I'm like a little under 5'8", so I'm like a bonobo.
Yeah, but in general, they're not monogamous. And so, you know, humans are not supposed to be monogamous. Now, you take what society is dictating us to do. That's a different story.
Can you call my exes and tell them this? I'm sorry, this was not Josh's fault.
Yeah, this is not his fault. But honestly, I tell it, you know, of course, we choose to practice whatever we want. And that it could be, you know, based on a specific relationship where we are as well. Because we are geared, you know, and kind of accommodating what our partners are like, or we choose according to what we want to practice. But in general, we're not built to be monogamous. Mm. And so I just want to say, you know, that couples that encounter this discomfort or the interest. And I also want to say the people, and I'm just going to touch this subject because I didn't want to really go through it. But I just want to say that people tend to forget that if we are in a relationship, it means that we are maybe, you know, monogamous and dedicated to the relationship. We're not dead, okay? We still have feelings.
Sure.
And we still see things and are stimulated by things, okay? Mm-hmm. That's okay, and everybody should just kind of calm down about it. So,
I'm sorry. I can't stop. I can't let you just say that. I understand that.
Okay.
But there is certain ideas of not putting yourself in those situations being stimulated.
Not practicing it.
What do you mean?
I mean that if you see someone, you can't avoid looking or being stimulated, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you're surrounded by a myriad of things
That's why I want to touch on it. A lot of people that I've worked with, they use a thing called the 3-second rule.
Okay.
And it's pretty simple. You're walking down the street and you see, if you're a girl or whatever, you see a guy or whatever sex you're attracted to, and you pull yourself out of it. You go up 3 seconds and you pull yourself out.
Oh, of course,
and
you're not going to go training. There.
But some people, you don't realize you're not cognizant of it when you're in what I call the bubble. You know, you're in the bubble of, you know,
of
you're around,
staring
you're and staring, just not even staring. You just, and you pull yourself away. And it's like you're training your brain to click off of that. Because a lot of people, there is sex and love addiction out there.
Yeah.
And they have this. You don't agree?
I don't agree with sex addiction, no. There are different schools of thought when it comes to sex addiction, because I don't believe, because I do have a feeling, you know, as a professional, I do tend to relate to addiction as something that we want to get rid of. And sex is not something that we want to get rid of. And that includes, you know, any food addiction. I think the relation to these situations or dysfunctions as addictions is wrong.
So you don't think there's such thing as a food addiction?
I think that there's some sort of a condition that has to do with, you know, not being well when you deal with that kind of thing.
Some people might call it addiction. You call it not being well.
I don't call it addiction.
Right.
Yeah, I don't call it addiction because addiction to me is something you want to get rid of. You can't practice it in any manner.
So there's no such thing as, would you say, bulimia or anorexia?
Well, bulimia and anorexia are conditions that are very problematic and physical and mental.
That would be under a food addiction.
Not necessarily, no. Because anorexia is definitely not food addiction.
Yes, it is.
It's not addiction, no.
Yeah, it's the addiction to not eating.
No. You don't call it addiction.
That's like a
lot of people do. I'm disagreeing.
No, it's a dysfunction. It's a physical dysfunction and it's a mental dysfunction. It's
which
a mental disability.
A mental disease.
Disability. I don't like it to call it disease.
But I understand what you're saying.
In general, I don't relate to addiction as sex addiction is not to me. And love addiction, I don't know. You know, how are you addicted to love?
So if we're talking about it, we can talk about a different show because I vehemently 100% disagree with you.
Okay.
And I know that I suffer from codependence and love addiction.
Codependence is a different situation. I don't know about love. What's the addiction in your book?
Love addiction would be seeking out emotional nourishment. Whether, you know, you could say like alcohol is a nourishment or drugs. Seeking out emotional nourishment in a unhealthy, dysfunctional, diseased way.
Right.
And also getting it from people that it's not even appropriate. I.e., let's say I'm trying to date a girl and she's not emotionally available, but I keep chasing.
Okay.
So that becomes an addiction, you know, getting in a serial.
Maybe dependency, that's what you mean.
Well, no. in the old days, they would just call you a romantic,
well,
I guess.
We could look up.
Yes.
Right, in the old days, you would say romantic. But if you
right.
look up what
Romeo
addiction
and Juliet.
Is, if you look up the term of addiction, yeah. we could look up what the term of addiction is yeah. and see what it is. We could just see, and maybe it's just all semantics that we're saying.
Well, it is semantics, of course, because, you know, it's also a cultural thing. Because what applies to addiction in this society will not apply to addiction in a different society. Of course, it's a cultural and societal condition. But in general, I just feel that anything that has to do with sex is not something that I want to get rid of. Maybe I want to adjust, you know, okay. or manage in a manner.
And I disagree
with
you.
But not necessarily.
You again.
Okay. Well,
it's all right.
You
and
can.
That's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay to have
yeah,
that. Yeah,
definitely.
Know?
No, of course.
Well, I
of
mean,
course.
If it's problematic in your life, you know, if it's causing problems, then
if
here
it's we go. Causing problems, yes, go ahead.
Here we go. This is the term as far as, not Wikipedia, I just typed it in here.
Wikipedia.
The fact. Or for addiction, the fact or condition of being addicted to a particular substance, thing, or activity.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're addicted to, let's say, a person, I am a dick, I need to see you. Because, and you tell me
dependency.
As a doctor. Dependency. So under this, let me ask you this. Is there certain serotonins that are released within love or when
yeah,
you
yeah of course
okay.
of course
so
different neurotransmitters
okay so different neurotransmitters so if I'm addicted to a person right
yes.
and I need to keep seeing them because I need to have that serotonin be released.
I don't know if it's because of the serotonin or other factors.
Okay.
It might be emotional.
Yes,
it could be emotional.
It could be emotional
but you're addicted
sure.
to a thing, a person, or activity of
right.
seeing that person.
Right.
And that's why I say addiction, and I'm you know, vehemently set up. How do you say it? Vehemently?
Vehemently.
Damn, Vietnamese is what I'm saying. Yeah, Vietnamese stood up to me, woman.
I know, brother.
Sorry, I don't know why I put a redneck voice on that. But it's an interesting topic, and I'm really passionate about it, and I've worked with a lot of people over 10,000 hours of helping people and myself, because I'm afflicted with that.
I think we all are kind of touched by it. You know, some people are more avoidant of these situations and are more comfortable with a different kind of...
It's called emotional anorexia.
There are many titles for these conditions. Mm-hmm.
I've been bad with relationships because I tend to back off of... I mean, I'm a narcissist. I'm so in love with myself. I don't have time
self-love.
For other people.
Are you a true classic narcissist? Or
I don't
you just,
think so.
Well, it's a love-hate relationship.
Yeah, no, you're not a narcissist. Not by the book.
Because narcissists don't know that they're narcissists.
Am
I right?
Well, most of them would not. You know, title themselves as narcissists.
I wasn't listening to you. What were you saying? I'm sorry, I'll be quiet. All right,
I don't think you are. But on that note, I really wanted to ask you guys, if we are talking about cheating, okay, for instance, because we brought that thing up, what do you think, males and females? Will males feel guiltier? Guys will feel guiltier about cheating a woman, about engaging in a sexual activity, or being emotionally close to someone? What would you as guys think? I mean, you never physically cheated on someone.
I haven't been in that many relationships, so I haven't had that many opportunities to cheat, but I don't think I...
It's not in your nature.
I've cheated
no.
on everybody.
Oh, really?
Every single person. And now I don't
you
do
have?
That anymore. Yeah, every single one.
Aww.
I wasn't, as you could say, like an addict, you could say in a way like that. But yeah, I have. And I would say for me, your question would be...
Why would it satisfy? What did it kind of feed?
Oh, my lack of self-esteem, my lack of self-worth.
Okay.
The lack of validation that I would get from the outside. Mm-hmm. It was never enough.
Right.
Which all came
you
from
would
my
always
childhood.
More.
I would always feel less than whenever I'd be around another guy or a pretty girl. And I would always try to fill that insatiable need up, and I could never
right.
do it. So
yeah.
I would get more and more and more and more. Because for me, it all comes from low self-esteem. That's all
so it is. So when you would cheat on your girlfriend or significant other, would you feel more guilt? Would you feel guiltier if you had engaged
right.
in sexual activity or just being friends with someone?
I think for me personally, I think emotional relationship rather than just a sexual relationship, I would feel more guilty. Because I really, if I hook up with you, I you know, I could not think of you really. Like, I had sex with a girl last night. I'm
and
like, oh,
you
really?
Just leave it and go.
Yeah.
Okay.
First of all, it's not it. It's a human being. And I don't appreciate you objectifying me.
I do it all the time.
She didn't even know I was playing with her. She didn't even know. She's like, why is he screaming at me?
So what do you think, Dave, in general? You didn't do it, but what would you, if you had done it, would you feel guiltier going in, you know, into a sexual situation with someone, or just, you know, maybe developing a close relationship, or you know, like...
I'll tell you the funniest thing. This one girl who I was really into, I mean, I would have probably married her, I guess, if mm-hmm. she had been into it, but I couldn't even look at other girls. I mean,
you were so in love.
Yeah, I couldn't even, you know, and I, at the time, I was like delivering mail at UCLA campus. And it's like, it's like there's girls like co-eds walking all around, like, especially
and
in the summertime.
Women.
Yeah, and they're wearing like summer clothes and, you know, tank tops and stuff like this. And
that's
just,
know.
I couldn't even focus on it. I just, and my, the sex with this girl wasn't even that great. It was just, I was just so into her, you know.
So you see, you're definitely not a narcissist.
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, but what did you want to say, Josh?
No, I was just going to ask him, so do you think it's, would you be more, would it be harder for you to cheat emotionally or sexually?
So that's what he said. He wouldn't,
Just in general.
Yeah.
Do you think, you know, just put himself in a position, you know, let's say you're married and you cheated somebody emotionally from work or just some random, you know, girl you met at a bar.
I suppose it would be harder to cheat
physically. No?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Why are you jumping in?
I'm sorry. Yeah, why are you jumping in? He's a grown-up. He knows his stuff. I'm sorry.
I have to. I'm a woman.
Yeah, I know. Don't use that excuse. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, if you can't cheat emotionally, then it's really hard to cheat sexually, too. So I would say.
So these things are joint with you?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's very possible. A lot of men and a lot of, you know, women obviously have the more tendency to connect the two. But in general, they went and asked both genders, what would you feel guiltier about? And the results were actually, to the researchers, were surprising, not to me. And I'll say why. First of all, I'll give you the results. And men felt, to me, obviously guiltier if they engaged in a sexual activity with a woman. Well, women felt guiltier if they had an emotional connection with another man.
Wait a second. You're saying the study said that men felt more felt worse if they had a sexual than an emotional relationship?
They felt worse and guiltier to admit to their friend, to their girlfriend, that they had a connection if it was a sexual.
Oh, to admit to their girlfriend.
Yeah,
oh,
they
that's
felt
a whole
guiltier.
That's a different thing, to admit it. I'm saying just from my own conscience. Oh, admit it?
Yeah.
I would say emotional would be sexual would be harder.
Sexual.
Yeah, to admit it to the girl because I can lie about
and
emotional.
And to yourself. I can just lie about it.
Sorry.
Who cares? But in general, so men felt guiltier cheating on their girlfriend sexually than hooking up with someone emotionally or developing some emotional connection with someone. Well, women felt much guiltier being closer to another man.
Yeah, that goes back to the way I think women like to connect emotionally. Maybe, you know, guys tend to be more like focused on the sexual act, I guess.
The conquest.
Yeah, the conquest.
Okay.
So I would see where women would feel worse, like if like it's like, well, my husband, he's boring.
He's not.
I like this guy over there.
He's not listening. He doesn't read Nietzsche to me.
No. This guy Chuck
he doesn't
over
read
here,
Robert
he's
Frost.
Cool.
I know.
He knows how to like have a conversation. He's not like, you know, he's not a jerk.
He reads interesting books.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, I think, and to me, the results were not surprising. And here's why. Because women have the tendency to feel much worse if their man... What I feel that this specific study really kind of projected exactly how the two genders feel. Because women are much more upset about an emotional connection that their man would have. And I'll explain why. Well, men are much more, have the tendency to be much more upset and uncomfortable with a sexual whatever liaison that their woman had. Do you guys realize why? I mean, it's from an evolutionary perspective.
Sure, yeah. Because, like, a guy wants to know that, like, all his kids are his kids.
Right. It's very true. Go ahead.
He doesn't want to, like, raise some kid that some other guy, you know, spawned.
He doesn't want to... Cuckoldery is what every man is afraid of. Okay?
What is that?
cuckoldry.
I don't know what that is. What does it mean?
Well, that means it comes from the cuckoo. The the bird that leaves the eggs in other people's birds' nests, and then you end up raising an egg that is not yours.
So the whole reason we don't want to think of our girl with somebody else is because we don't want
because we're afraid. Biologically, we're afraid, and that was Darwin's assumption to begin with sexual selection and natural selection, when he said that we are all afraid of raising someone else's offspring without knowing.
Yeah, I just think the chick's dirty then. That's honestly
just
what comes
clean
down.
Like, your vagina.
Biologically, that's what's going on underneath. But to me, I'm like, ooh. That means
your vagina is like, ah.
I just feel like it's dirty.
I know. Clean
that's
it up.
And also her emotionally being with somebody else. Like having sex and having an emotional connection and losing that emotional connection with her. So boom, we're dating. And we have this great, like a straight line. And we're connected at the eyes. We're just connected. And then if you went out and hooked up with somebody else, I'd be like, oh, that was broken. And emotionally, I'd be like, oh, shit, I'm lost. Where's my chick?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense. So, but most men will care more. Like if a woman came to you, your woman would come to you and say, I never engaged in anything sexual with this guy, but I love him. I have like such an emotional connection with him. I want to hold his hand. I want to be with him. I want to go to a movie with him. You know, most men would feel less upset about it than if a woman came and said, oh my God, we had like the wildest sex ever.
They both suck. I don't know. I'm trying to really put myself.
No, but seriously, like, it's
one,
an interesting.
Which one would make you more upset, Dave? I mean, you're married, you love the girl, and she comes to you one day. And
what would hurt less?
I suppose the sexual thing, like maybe if she was like loaded or something, or I don't know.
We got to make up an excuse in our minds.
she's loaded, let her go.
She tripped and fell on a dick.
As long as she doesn't have a kid
dick.
With this dude, then he can pay this child support.
But that's exactly where it stems from. The biological, the evolutionary explanation of it is because men are always fearful that the offspring is not theirs and that you can never really...
Yeah.
You can never really be in charge of it because the woman.
I'm searching my psyche right now. It doesn't ring at all. Even if that could be a study, it doesn't ring. I'm not saying it's not on a genetic level I don't know about, but that's not the part that bothers me. That's not the part that comes up.
Well, subconsciously, it could be.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Right. Like, maybe it is subconscious and I have no idea, but it just feels, that doesn't feel, and I'd have to do some thinking about it. And that's the kind of cool thing about a lot of these topics that. We might be driving around tomorrow in our car or next week and go, I really...
Right, but right now, off the bat, you cannot say what would hurt you more?
Right now, off the bat, I would say they both feel like they would hurt really bad. Although I had agreed with David, I think emotional would feel like it would hurt more.
Really?
Because...
That is surprising to me.
Like, it was a one-night thing, and, I'm just thinking right now. That's what I would come up with right now, but I'll think about it, and, if I come back again,
but it's interesting. It is interesting because women have the tendency, and again, why women feel that the emotional factor is by far more important is also from biological reasons, because women, and I don't like, to relate to it as that, but in a simplified word, you would say that every woman is a prostitute because you sell sex for any sort of, support.
I don't care. I'm sorry. I lost what you were...
Okay, I'll explain.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A woman hooks up, according to Darwin, why a woman needs a man for the protection of her offspring, for the caring of the offspring, and for herself.
And we're smarter.
Financially.
I'm sorry.
You wish.
Hello. Okay, go ahead.
Right. Financially, the male is responsible for the caring.
Yeah, the hunting and gathering.
Right.
Okay.
So a woman is given sex in exchange of whatever you want to call it. Money, support, all of the above. Now, if a man is hooking up emotionally with someone else, my support is in jeopardy. Mm. And my offspring support. Because now he's going to buy this Beamer for the new chick. Not for me, not for my offspring, okay? Just in general words.
Yeah.
And that's the concern that, according to evolutionary purposes, that's why women are more concerned with men being engaged, in an emotional connection with someone else more than a physical. Like, so on the surface, it appears as if a woman would care less if a man went and had like a sexual encounter, but didn't develop anything emotional. What do you think, Jenny?
Jenny.
Jenny's not even listening. Jenny's drinking back there. Jenny is at the fifth of bourbon.
Today is 4:20 and she's celebrating.
Sorry, what was the question?
Boo.
The question was, will a woman be more upset if she... Oh, okay. Will a woman be more upset if she caught her man in a sexual relationship with someone else or an emotional relationship with someone else? What would be more upsetting to a woman?
Or to you?
How long have I been dating the person?
Okay, so that's a factor?
I think so. Because if it's like an early on thing.
No,
I
mean, you're in love with a guy. You love him, whatever it is. It could be 2 weeks, two months, whatever. Let's just say it's 2 years. You're in love with him. You guys are a couple. Yeah. He comes to you and you either find out, A, that he's been sleeping with somebody, or B, he has an emotional connection with somebody. Which one would bother you more?
Yeah.
I think the emotional one would bother me more.
You see? Yeah. That's the female perspective of
can
these
we date?
Things.
I'm taking.
You need to ask Andy.
Can you find me somebody who won't mind? Sorry.
No, but in general, yeah. What were you going to say, Dave?
If there's, if your partner has an emotional connection with somebody else.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about not a one-night stand. I'm talking about someone who is in an emotional connection with you. I don't know if, whatever, if it's love or a close connect, it doesn't matter. But you are in a relationship with this person.
Yeah.
And then they come and they say, I fucked this person, I fucked someone else. Or I'm close with someone else and he's my soulmate. And what would hurt more?
I think the emotional thing, actually, because, I mean, because accidents can happen, I guess.
So you would relate to it as an accident?
Well,
that's what we tell ourselves.
Well, I want to believe that it was just like, a one night thing.
I slipped and fell on a vagina.
I know.
Look how funny she thinks she is, David. Look at her. She's laughing hysterically at herself. Her head went back like,
it's all right. It's okay. No. But, there are people who are in open relationships, let's say you're a salesman. You're on the road.
Yeah.
You might have you might have sex with somebody on the road or something like that. And the wife maybe is kind of like, well, okay, whatever,
He
it's
just
like,
fucked somebody and it's not meaningful.
Yeah, it's not a meaningful thing.
Okay.
But if it's like a real emotional kind of...
connection.
Yeah. Then I think that's probably more... Because, if you really
Can
care
I say
about
something?
Somebody.
Yeah, of course, please.
I think the factor of how important sex is to a person also matters.
To you or to your partner?
To you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to your partner, too, because then that would influence them to cheat on you emotionally or
okay,
physically.
So if sex is, like, a big factor in your life, you would be more concerned?
If sex is something that's, very intimate and, traditional, right? Then of course,
right? That it's not something you look at.
And by traditional,
like,
you mean anal? Am I right? Is that what you mean? I'm sorry. Is that
of
what you
course,
mean?
Only
I
anal.
I don't know. I'm just
only
asking.
Deep sure.
Okay.
Only deep.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy Easter.
Easter, yeah.
But the thing is, with sleeping around with someone else, it's kind of. I mean, I would hope it would never happen in my situation, but. I think it's an easier factor to get over, but
for a woman,
the sex part, but the trust thing is what kills
is much
it,
more important. So. And this is exactly what the study says. And I agree. I agree that women see an emotional betrayal as by far more problematic than someone just sticking his dick in someone else's vagina. I mean, it's by far less intimidating or, causing trouble. Yeah. As and women tend to justify it by saying, they're men, whatever, they're attracted to. It's not necessarily, of course. But as a sex, we have the tendency, unfortunately, to say it this way. Now, also, there's also, of course, the hormonal factor of women and they found that women that have more testosterone have the tendency to be more interested in sex. Why are you smiling?
Just like your accent. testosterone.
Well, yeah. Well,
you're like
they
Pepe Le Pew. Testosterone.
Yeah,
I like
yeah,
it.
So, well,
I
like your French, accent. But, yeah.
Ava Gabor.
I love it. Yeah. That, by the way, I'm sorry. Just let me jump in. That is the biggest turn on to me. An accent. I love that. That makes yeah. my that makes my hormones go. I love it. I love it. I want a girl who doesn't talk like this. Just
as a comic,
bit.
I'm trying to learn her accent. So,
you can do an impression of me. I'm dying for you to do it.
Let's yeah. hear it. Let's
see what you
he was
on.
Doing.
He was doing
for him
Tim's.
To do it.
I know.
Darling, can you do my show on Sunday? I don't know. I'm
nah,
still working on
not.
It. So
yeah,
I
you
know
still have to brush it up.
I know. It's still a work in progress.
So yeah, so testosterone is really like a factor that women that have more of it have the tendency to be more interested in sex. Now, I'm not talking about developing, you know, like a mustache. You know, someone that has like more of that have the tendency to be more interested in sex. But there's an exception to that rule because these women are more interested in sex, but not with, they're horny, but not for you. Like they're more interested in having sex with themselves. So masturbation is a big factor. I mean, in their interest in having sex more than the copulatory kind of sexual thing. What do you think about, do you think women have a similar sex drive as men?
I think that testosterone in men and women is what drives
well,
the sex
of course.
Drive.
Yeah, it's true.
And men have more testosterone, you know, in their system than women.
Yeah, of course.
Which is, you know, probably...
Preferably.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not, probably not always the case, but yeah. I mean, I think that would drive their sex, promiscuity or whatever.
Well, women can be promiscuous.
Sure.
Just as much.
Yeah. And also it depends on cultural factors or their upbringing or whatever.
Of course. Have you ever guys come across a woman that outdid you in terms of her sex drive?
yeah. No, I don't think
you have,
so.
Most of the women I have have some sexual abuse in their background. That's why they were so promiscuous. If you look at a lot of the women.
Because it was kind of a cover up for...
No, they were trying. They were abused sexually, so they're trying to recreate that. The second part of, I guess, A1 would be recreate that, but then have control over the situation this time.
Right.
So a lot of women who are, you know, sexually abused as kids, they recreate those things, rape scenarios.
Yeah, a lot
or
of
things.
Prostitutes and a lot of porn stars, for instance, are
come
abused.
From a sexual abuse background.
Right. Right.
So and that's my experience.
Okay. So in terms of sex drive per se. Did you come across a woman that was, I don't know, you would say, oh, honey, I have a headache?
No, I mean, I feel like from everything I've learned that men and women have the same sex drive. Men act on it more from what this is what I've heard.
Yeah.
That they do have the same sex drive. Like men might think about it more and act on it more, but I think it's pretty even from what I've heard and studied. But. You know, there's a lot of different studies. Am I right in saying that?
Well, most studies, unfortunately, I don't necessarily agree with all of them. And most of the new ones tend to kind of put like shed light on the fact that women do have a higher sex drive.
Right.
Really?
But yes.
Really?
Why is that a surprise? We're such a coy and demure sex. Oh.
Yeah. Right,
we're
it's
because
we're taught. Yeah, we're taught women. Oh, women. They're not interested in it.
No, they always have a headache.
Yeah,
women, yeah. They just do it for you.
Right.
We don't have an orgasm really, but yeah. The thing is, why did you think that, Dave? I mean, it's like is that a surprise? Women are not really driven.
I always just thought that men were more sexually driven than women, but what do I know? You're the expert.
so it's true that most of the old studies claim that men have, because testosterone, that it's a stronger, you know, sex drive right there.
Uh-huh.
But today they find that most women are more driven if, you know, and it's, again, it's a cultural thing. And it depends on the cosmo place that you live in and a lot of other factors. I mean,
oh, boy. Here we go with the nonsense.
But it's not.
Are you a Sagittarian, a librarian, a veterinarian? Are you?
No, location-wise. Like,
right.
Where do you live?
Yeah,
like,
sure.
If you live in Paris, in Paris they claim, for instance, that all couples cheat. And it's like that the women are very driven towards cheating and towards any sexual, you know, activity. Because, and it's like, it's even interesting. I don't know if you guys went to Paris ever.
I went
visited.
There. I loved it.
It's beautiful.
Very beautiful.
But there's like a feeling around 5 o'clock, the 5 o'clock time, it's like that everybody's like running to see their lovers. Anna Isnin even wrote about it. That the whole idea of that there's like a sensation of sex in the air.
Oh, that explains.
That everybody, of course.
No, I masturbated on the Eiffel Tower. I don't know why. Oh, I'm sorry.
It was just
That's
5 o'clock in Paris.
Nothing. David's not even laughing. Look at him. He's thinking.
He's I said masturbated, but
nothing.
I'm just trying to think of my next joke.
But,
No. I was thinking of this this actor, famous Italian actor.
Yeah.
And he was on the, I can't, what the hell was his name?
Marcello Mastroianni.
Marcello Mastroianni.
Of course, I would know.
He was on Letterman one time.
Yes.
And he was talking about his fantasy of meeting some girl in,
in Paris.
In at a cafe. And then he's, like, Letterman's like, aren't you married? And he goes, well, yeah, of course.
Of course, but I'm Italian, I'm allowed.
Yeah, it's like I'm Marcello Mastroianni.
Of course.
You know, I'm the king of Italian cinema, you know.
Yeah.
It's the same like Tom Jones.
I know, people would, you know, I went to his show later, you know, like in his I think he's 70-something, right? So I went when he was close to 70. And it was funny, everybody was joking that women would throw their grandma's panties now at him. Not any thongs, you know, but grandma's panties. Like,
it depends.
It depends. They were throwing their
Can I tell you guys a quick story?
Pads, yeah.
I was in Vegas, and I was flirting with this older lady.
Yeah.
And we ended up having sex.
How older?
Let me finish the story. Yeah. And right before we had sex, she goes, oh, my God, the last person I had sex with here was 25 years ago with Tom Jones.
Fuck.
Wow.
So she might have been in her 50s.
Wow.
And I was 25.
Ooh.
Getting it in.
Older.
Wow. Yeah.
What's well, older up, women are, yeah, they claim that older women are by far more, you know, better in bed than younger women because they're more in control of their orgasms and more aware. Of what they can.
And they got money. What's up?
Okay, sorry, well, that's a different story.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's been, all the sex experts have said that women peak later in
women
life.
Women peak between 30, 35 to 55.
Yeah.
And males, you know, usually between 18 and 30. So by the time he's, you know,
right.
By the time he's peaking, you know, a woman is just waking up. At this point.
Yeah, and if we're, when I was at my sexual peak, I had no social skills at all. So it's like I was
like
really kind of.
You wasted your years.
I know. It was like,
I know. But in general, I want to ask you guys, when you see a woman, do you have like an assumption? Will she be applicable? Will she be like a good companion for me in bed? Are there like signs for that when it comes to a male perspective? Like when you see a woman, you would say, yes. Oh, the way she walks, the way she talks, the way she flaunts her hair, I don't know.
Well, go ahead. Do it, David.
Well, I mean, there's the physical, there's the initial physical attraction, but
yeah,
I mean.
The attraction, yeah, but do you think she's going to, like if you look at someone, you know if she's going to be a good companion for you in bed?
Well,
she has a
talk.
Vagina.
You're hired.
And two breasts and a vagina. That's like.
Yeah. You have a lot of requests.
But, yes. Yeah, I know. Okay. I'm asking a lot. But,
I know.
You know, but no, it's. You know, it's well. You know, you have to conversate with these women, and then like figure out.
Shucks. I'll be
quiet. What do you need
I'm
to
sorry.
Talk to
I,
them
I don't
for?
Want to talk to them.
I mean, who wants to fucking talk to them? So, what do you think, Josh?
What?
What is?
What? Honestly, I can't tell. I wish you could tell if a girl had a nice vagina, though. How cool would that be? Like if it was all meaty.
They're all nice.
I'm sorry. You know what? Oh, my tongue just hit the microphone.
You don't know what else has been on the microphone.
I know. A lot of disgustingness. I have syphilis right now. That's not
oh, my
important
God.
Right now. I don't know. I mean, I think if I'm attracted to her, then I feel like the sex would be good. You know what? Audio, she's yawning. She just looked at me and yawned. She looked right at me when I was talking about sexual.
She's like, oh, you fucking bore me.
That was boring.
Yeah.
No, I feel like, what do you think? I think if I'm attracted to a girl, I feel like the sex would be good. But when you get in the bed, sometimes it's just dead fish.
It could be a surprise, right? Yeah. A bad surprise.
Yeah.
Didn't you guys have a bad surprise with someone that was just laying there?
Well, I did. Because I was totally attracted to this girl. I was crazy about her.
Yeah.
She was on Prozac.
And that's a nice factor to add.
I could not make her have an orgasm in 5 months.
No matter how you
tried. I tried everything. And it's just, she was just, you know, she couldn't even get herself off, you know, with a vibrator.
Well, yeah.
So, and she had to use lube, you know, and she was like a younger.
A wrench?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't know. Screwdriver?
It was kind of a bummer in a way, but I was like I really liked her a lot, so. So I kind of, you know.
Well, scientists say that there are factors that you can kind of count on to kind of, you know, decide if a woman is going to be, I don't know if good in bed, but fitting in bed. And other scientists say that it's not necessarily true. Helen Fisher, who is a very admired anthropologist, says that it's hard to gauge really, you know, if someone is going to be, because flaunting of the hair or the way she walks or the miniskirt, or she's, you know, capable of walking on nicely on heels. These are intentional signs, but not necessarily functional signs, meaning that the woman maybe is, you know, thinking of herself as sexual, but maybe she's not really a sexual being. Maybe she's not so good in bed, and maybe she's not going to be compatible. So she says that. But others say that there are factors that you can kind of pinpoint to say if a woman is going to be compatible and good in bed. And one of them was, for instance, that if a woman is opinionated, if a woman knows how to answer a question, if you ask her something and she's like, you know, whatever you want kind of thing, then no.
That's
she's not going to be good in bed. But if she's very opinionated and very kind of open-minded and likes to elaborate on things, then there's a bigger chance that she's going to be more, you know, aware of what she wants in bed and so better, you know, a better sexual companion. Do you think it's something that can be like a good detection of?
I think intelligence is, you know, because I used to think I was smart until I met you. You know everything. But no, that's definitely a very appealing, you know, factor.
A woman that can speak for herself.
Yeah. That's a very attractive thing. Maybe there's some guys who are not into, you know.
Well, yeah, the guys that don't want to talk.
Yeah, they just want to do
whatever. All right, they just want to, you know, check it all about. What do you think?
I think it's really attractive when a woman is intelligent. Like, for me, and this is my own little nonsense thing, like, I would need to date a girl who's graduated college. That's just my thing.
Okay, so education is an important factor.
Education is a big thing. Like you just said, emotional and intellectual stimulation is great.
Right.
And also, to me, it I don't know if it's a biological thing, but, you know, we all have up and down times in our life.
Right.
So let's say I'm married and I have a downtime where I'm down or depressed or hurt or sick. It's nice for me to know that my partner can handle whatever it is, you know,
and
pick up the slack.
Understand, yeah.
Understand, do whatever it is that needs to get the family through.
Right.
So I've dated women that aren't, in my opinion, you know, as smart as I would like. And I can't, maybe, I don't know, it's just my judgment, but I find it very attractive when a woman really knows her stuff and can handle. And it's not like, hey, I like my tire pop, what do I do? Yeah, whatever,
oh
seriously? Did you get that past him perfume? Oh, whatever.
You know, you can't really understand what they're saying.
Yeah, whatever, seriously, I was out there and I was like, yeah.
What the fuck did you say?
I was like, ew.
It's like, yeah.
Well, the character of the woman is like, intelligence is important.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, you know, if you're going through a tough time, a woman who's like strong, my mom is very strong.
Yeah.
Stronger than
me,
you know. And also kindness, of course. And, you know, sense of humor, right? I mean.
So a woman that is funny is going to be good in bed? Well, at least she's going to joke about
she'll
it.
Laugh at, she'll laugh at my penis.
I see what you're saying, though. Like, it's like a woman that we could connect with. Like, you know, emotionally. Physically, intellectually.
Have conversations.
Yeah, and but that they're also funny. So it's like, it's a whole experience of bedroom. It's not just like serious, just like, it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
And there is some
so
humor in the
downtime,
bedroom. There is some things, you know.
Well, you have to.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's too.
So I really agree with what David's saying.
Especially if you're a comedian. If the
so
girl's not laughing at you.
That's a requirement if you're a comedian.
Oh, well, yeah.
You need that feedback all the time. An English professor.
Huh?
For instance, if you're an English professor, then no. A woman doesn't need to be funny.
They might be funny. Who knows?
Yeah, I guess. Other scientists said that a woman that eats very slowly is a woman that likes to prolong her lovemaking. Do you think? Yeah. Do you think it's
who the fuck is doing these studies? What the fuck is wrong? How do you even think of that study? David, I want to ask you a question. What do you, I mean, this is retarded. Who does this study?
No, but I do. I don't think it's completely out of the blue.
What idiot did this study?
No, but I really think that it does have to do with it.
What? I might have some to do, but why? She's eating slowly. Are there people like watching people out and hooking up with them? Like, how do you gauge that?
I know.
I think it's probably better for the digestion process to eat slowly.
And it shows they have patience, and it shows, you know, like I eat my roommate, Dana, she can't even look at me because I eat disgust. I eat like I've never eaten before.
Or you never eat again.
She's like, you are disgusting. And I'm like, thank you.
A carnivore.
I'm not dating you, and I eat. So,
but this applies to males, okay, what you're saying. What they're saying is women that take the time. I'm not saying, you know, that devour food, but the way that they take the time means that they're going to engage in a bunch of activities in the bedroom. For instance, you know, I don't know, oral sex and other forms of pleasuring.
It doesn't make any sense to me, though.
No?
I don't see the connection. Well, because she chews her food and takes her time means that she'll do
more time on your
that she'll have,
on your knob.
That she's not going to be interested in a quickie. You know, that she'll be more interested in, like, taking her
pleasure.
Time in the bedroom. Yeah, I think it does.
I understand,
correlate.
But I mean, okay, but yeah. All right, now what?
Yeah.
I mean, all right, so she eats slowly, and all right, so what do you, what do you do? Just watch, take her, go on a date?
I know.
There are a lot of... She spent 25 minutes on that spaghetti.
I'm with a stopwatch. I'm putting my head in like Mr. Deeds.
Well, there are, these studies really took the longest time, yeah, and they brought in a bunch of factors that have to do with whether she is good in bed or not, and we can elaborate it next time because we're almost out of time. So I want to give Josh the opportunity to tell us where can we find his comedy.
Josh Nassar, facebook.com/Josh Nassar. That's facebook.com, Josh Nassar. N as in Nancy, A, S as in Sam, A-R. Twitter is at Josh Nassar, same as Instagram. And I will be probably at the Comedy Store and different other places this week. And I'll be in Kansas City in 2 weeks. But the best thing, just go to my Facebook page. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
Nice to meet you, Josh.
Terrific. And David, you want to tell us where do you perform?
Well, this Friday, I'm doing a 20th anniversary of this church show where I have to work clean.
The total opposite of this show. But, I know. It's not for me.
Yeah, it's in Mar Vista. You could go to on Facebook, David Corrado, C-O-R-R-A-D-O.
Okay.
And I'll have all the info on there.
Excellent. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. I'm Dr. Lemuel Blockman, and I'll see you next time.
All right.